let's see, we've got test question here. Okay? Does God want us to have a balanced Christian life? Okay, hey. Okay, check that one. You got that one correct. Okay, I can turn the page, right? Okay, and you are body, soul, and spirit, right? And he wants balance in all three, right? Okay, yes. Okay, that's good. And what did I explain about the problem with advancements? What is the problem with advancements? What has advancement caused in our lives? It what? Well, yeah, it intrudes into your time. And what is the promise of all the advancements? To give you more time. But nobody has more time than they used to have, really. Now, you think about this. Now, you could tell because, see, you don't know, but I think you're 83 now, aren't you? Yeah, you're 83. He's 83 years old. See, he could remember when his mother used a scrub board. Absolutely. I said I could remember when my mother used the ringer one, right? You know, so but not the scrub board, right? So he's a generation older. It was scrub board. And they came around, they said, look at this new machine. It's got a ringer. It could save you all the time in the world, right? Yeah, not an electric one. Yeah, that's right. It went like that. Didn't we all? Yeah. Oh, what's that? Yeah, I remember it well. Yeah. And the promises with all these advancements are that you're going to have all this time on your hands. And we don't have all that much time. Now, if you've got a balanced life, you have some time. But if you're imbalanced, you feel like you have no time at all. Like the clock is always ticking and you're behind the trouble. And you're behind the power curve or whatever you want to use it, right? And then I tried to explain to you that you have limits. You have physical limits and you have soul and spirit limits, emotional limits. Okay? You are limited. And always using, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me for every occasion. Is that a biblical truth or is it a misleading statement? It's a misleading statement. That verse does not mean you can do everything that you want to do. Okay? And that's what we use it as. I'm going to tell you, haven't you? Haven't you used that verse when you wanted to do something and then say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me? And maybe you couldn't say that the Lord would have you do it, right? But, you know, we refer to that. I've done that myself. But you are limited. And you need to understand that. You do have emotional limits. You do have intellect limits. When you got saved, God didn't make you a genius. He's working with all that you have available, right? Right? And you know how that, really, you know, that could be... That could be pretty limiting, right? Okay, so we're going to go and we're going to make a transition here and we're going to talk about our physical limits and I'm going to get into that and then we're going to get into your body and soul limits and how to correct the imbalance. So we're going to get into the correction. We're going to talk a lot about contentment. Okay, contentment. And then we're going to talk a lot about relationships. And remember, is a Facebook a relationship? No, it's not. Is texting one another a relationship? No, it's not. Because half of the time, all those things that you're getting, you do know that most of the information on Facebook and stuff I'm not pointing to you. It's everybody else that lies. Right? Oh, I really care about you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Okay. And so we're going to be talking about that. But before I get into it, there is something that I wanted to ask you. Now, I believe that being a Christian, you must be born again. Right? You must be born again. It doesn't say you may be born again. You must be born again. So being a Christian isn't going to church, even though going to church is really a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's a good thing. And how about being baptized? Does that save you? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So you can be going to church. You could even be baptized. But that doesn't save your soul. What saves your soul is a belief, right? It is. It's a belief. It's a belief in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You chose to believe what the Scripture says about His what? Death, burial, and resurrection, right? Not two or one, all of them, right? Death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. There is this matter of repentance, but there's I consider two ends that are too far. One, you don't repent and you don't do any action during your salvation. Repentance is a change of mind. You changed your mind about what sin was. You did. You weren't convinced of sin, but you became convinced of sin. That's a change of mind. You changed your mind on who Jesus Christ was. You might have thought he was a good man, but then you changed your mind. He became your what? Your Savior. There was a change of mind. There's another one, but I can't remember it. So, you know. But there's a couple of them. You had a change of mind, and you chose to believe in, on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you called out to him, and most of us did in prayer or, you know, in some way we called out to him, and we received him. It says they received him unto himself. We received that. And then you became quickened by the Spirit, right? If it's a true and genuine transaction, you are part of the New Testament. Okay, the Old Testament was the blood of goats and bulls, and the New Testament, which is an agreement, a covenant, right? That's what it means. It's between you and God, and you're trusting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've made that agreement with God. He said he'd save my soul if I put my faith in that, and that's what I'm putting my faith in. Now, I have a question for you. Are you really saved? Yeah, you know, are you really saved? And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads now. Bow your heads. Now, with the explanation of the gospel that I just gave, with all honesty, don't look around, no one looking around or anything like that. If you're saved and you know it by the word of God, you've called on the name of the Lord, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, would you just slip up your hand? And by that you're saying, I know I am saved. Okay, I appreciate the honesty of some. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, well, I could tell you that the Lord wants you to know him. And if you have any doubt on what that means, please see one of the pastors myself. I am not going to go and twist your arm to become saved. I can't do it. But I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you. The work on the cross, when you hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that draws you. There's the Holy Spirit is convincing you of sin, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if you don't know that you're saved, please talk to me afterwards. Or if you want to prefer to talk to your pastor or whatever it may be, seek somebody out, okay? And so that they can go carefully over the Scriptures, no hurry, no arm twisting, but carefully go over the Scriptures so that you can understand what the Bible has to say about salvation. And then choose for yourself. But I'd like to see you, and I know God would like to see you saved. Okay, now, when you're saved, then we're talking about the things that pertain to salvation and leading a balanced life. We mentioned about, and I have to tell you that many, many people live a Christian life, and they are on the edge, okay? Now, beginning to find balance is having some space between your load and your limit. Some space between your load and your limit. Remember, you're limited, right? So finding balance is having some space between that. Okay? And why is that? Why would anybody ever say that? Shouldn't you be at 100% all the time? Huh? At 100% all the time? How about if your plan and God's plan are different? And something unanticipated comes into your life. And you're at over, the average person in our society is working beyond their limits. They're not at their limits, they are already beyond their limits. Okay? And we're going to talk about some of the emotions that come out of that. You're already beyond your limits. You're going beyond your emotional, your physical, or your spiritual and soul. Your limits, you're going beyond those. So what happens when something, the Lord knows what's going on, your plan isn't exactly what the Lord's plan is, and something unexpected comes into your life. Now imagine, I can tell you what happened. It isn't good either. It isn't good. And depending on where you are in your world, it could be so upsetting, it could throw you, you could become so imbalanced that you crash, right? Okay. So in your day-to-day plan, you need to have a gap between your load and your limit. You have to have gap there. So if the Lord throws in something, it won't make you imbalanced. You've got to leave room for unanticipated actions and problems, because perilous times shall come. And there's a lot of things thrown into us. How about if you were at your limit and some tragedy comes up that you need to earnestly pray for? Would you be able to pray something beyond, please, Lord, do something? I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying here? And so you need to know this. Balance is the opposite of imbalance. Imbalance in life is of frustration, exhaustion, oppression, no true soul or spiritual rest. The majority of people live life at 120% instead of 80%. And you say 80%, that would be slothful. No, Lord can fill up your percentages. I'm just saying with your plan, don't max yourself out so that you can be led by the Spirit. Isn't that what we're supposed to be, is led by the Spirit? How about if your plan incorporates every hour of your day? And you say, well, the Lord's leading me in this. I said, oh, really? I don't know about that, guys and ladies. I'll have to tell you. I think that you need to understand that the Lord has things for us to do. And so what I'm trying to encourage you to do is, I don't know whether 80% is right. You can make it 85. You can make it 90. But I hope what I'm trying to tell you is that don't get your life so full that God, if something unanticipated comes up, or if God wants you to move in a certain direction that you haven't got the plan for, well, how many of you are prophets? How many of you know everything that the Lord wants you to do a week from now or tomorrow? Really? Do you? Being led by the Spirit, is that He gives you a week-long plan in advance? Well, what is being led by the Spirit? I mean, I know the Venturinis use the term, you guys say divine appointments, right? You use that term, divine appointments. Other people use different wordings, right? But really, it is that there's enough space in there that if the Lord wanted you to go in this direction, how about if a tragedy happened? Can you imagine? Could you expand yourself? Would there be enough in your world that you could expand yourself to minister to these people that need ministering? If you're maxed out, if you're totally maxed out, and like I said, most people are beyond their limit already, will you be able to properly do that? Not without what? Neglecting, or something else would have to go or crash or burn or something like that. But if you have that flexibility, you will be able to do both and not get imbalanced. You say, well, I don't know if I can do it. I'm telling you, you need to start. God has given us each an individual skill set, right? We call them gifts of the Spirit. When the demand, and I put expectation, pastors, on your life and pastor's wife and whoever else wants to listen, when the demand expectation on your life is greater than your skill set, I am living an imbalanced life. When you're over your limit, you are imbalanced. And whether it's me, or whether it's you, or whether it's, you know, a member of your church, that you are imbalanced. Because you need to be able to be led by the Spirit and be used of the Spirit during that day. You need to have time to what? Meditate on the things of God. You need to have times of rest. Spiritual and soul rest every day. Not once a week, not once a year, right? Really, now, I'm looking at some of you, this is some of the only rest that you get, right? You finally get rest, no TV, no, I hope no one's texting. You know, we're trying to stay away from all of those conveniences and all that other stuff, and this may be the only rest that you get. No, that isn't the plan, once a year at family camp. And many of you even said it. You don't even know what I'm going to be preaching. And when you say certain things, I go, oh, man, this is great. You know, really, you know, I go, oh, yeah, really? You know, No, it's not once a year that you have a break. You're supposed to be operating in your day within your skill limit, within your strength, and you're supposed to be doing this so that you can be led of the Lord. And you're going to say, you're saying in your mind, listen, it's almost, I'm telling you, you never hear the gift of discernment? Well, anyways. And then people, they start to think this. They say, well, you don't know my situation. You don't know my preacher. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. And you make all the excuses. And all it is, you're already justifying to live an imbalanced life. And I'm just trying to provoke you enough. You can get mad at me. It's okay. I don't have any mission support or anything, man. You know what I mean? And I'm in charge of the camp. It's in my name. So, you know, it's okay. You know, you can't fire me. You know, it's sort of like that. No, I'm serious. You can get mad at me or whatever. I'm trying to explain this to you. And I have to, just like you, live within the strengths that God has given me. If I want to continue on with any kind of joy in my Christian walk. And you can pretend and you can fake it and you can do all of this. But how many preachers have we seen between 5 and 7 or whatever, 10 years, right? And some of them make it back. I made it back. I praise God for it. But many of them don't. After they go beyond themselves, they never recover. Or if they do, they'll never pastor again, right? Because of the situations that occurred when they were in imbalance. And all I'm trying to encourage you, and many Christians we see come and go too. And so when the demand of your life is greater than your skill set, we are living an imbalanced life. Remember, life is a spiritual battle. Remember who the adversary is, okay? Remember what his plan is. Now go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. And like I said, if there's any, I really tried to check all these references out, but unfortunately, I should have somebody edit everything that I do. Tana tries, but then I don't give her the time to do it, and she doesn't. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to this pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I guess what I'm trying to say with that reference there is the adversary, and we are battling a spiritual warfare. And a lot of times what people are thinking that, you know, the devil works in such a way that he brings. Now, he can bring a very specific temptation to you. I absolutely agree with that. I know him. I know other people that have been tempted and fall and have great difficulty. But I really believe that the adversary is slicker than that. I really do. I believe that just like the watering down of the Word of God, he tries through small means to gain an advantage over us. Instead of appearing, I know he's a roaring lion and all the descriptions are there, but understand he's supposed to be the most subtle of creatures. And so what does that mean? Does it work that he works in the overt all the time? No, it does not mean that he works in the overt. He goes and he comes around. It's called clandestine warfare. It is around the corner. It is subversive. It works that way. And just think about this. How about if he is the making a plan to try to get you so busy that you can't serve God? It isn't God that's making that plan. That is not God's plan. He has a plan of balance so that you can serve him and enjoy it. Now listen, if I had a secret ballot and no one, if we were all private, you have to understand if I ask you this question, how many of you sometimes regret the Christian ministry? Not really. Now you might not say no, but listen, I mean, I'm not talking about all the time because everybody will say, no, I don't regret. No, I'm talking about that there's times in your life that you regret it, that it becomes burdensome to you. That these things happen. That is not God's plan. And when we get imbalanced like that, that's what ends up happening. Why is it that so many of our children are walking away from the things of the Lord? Ask yourself that. The adversary, ask it all. Challenge yourself on these things, please. And because we remember what pain is for, right? What is pain for? And whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, what is it for? God gave you pain. It's a warning. God gave you pain. And when you're going through pain, you need to understand that it's a warning that something is wrong, right? There's something wrong. And so you just don't try to blame it on something or anything. You got to be honest enough and see what's going on. Many are not trying to live life. They are trying but survive life. And God wants us to live life in that what? More abundantly. He doesn't want us to survive life. But when you get imbalanced and everything is weighing on you and it feels like you can't overcome and there's a zillion different things coming from different directions, you don't go into the abundant life. You go into the survival mode. That's what our bodies do. That's what we do. We go into the survival mode. Now, what is the survival mode? This has nothing to do. I'm going to give you a little education. Okay? What is the survival mode? When you're in fight or flight, what mode are you in? Fight or flight? You're adrenaline mode. That's it. You are in adrenaline. God gave that to you. Adrenaline's a great thing, man. If you're scared, like, you know, they told me that cobras were around in Africa. There's cobras all over the place. I don't really like snakes. So I have to tell you that, you know, every once in a while I saw a stick and, you know, the adrenaline pumped in and I was ready to, you know, come about this far off the ground, right? You know, that, it's a good thing. But do you know how disastrous it is to your physical body to live in that condition all the time? It will destroy you. It really does. Adrenaline's a good thing for, you know, a couple of seconds or something like that. But if you're living outside of your limits, you are living an adrenaline high. And it's very bad for your system. All the way through your system, from all your soft tissues, the whole shot. Okay? And we'd say, well, it's stress and everything. Well, yes, it is stress. But let's just say that it has to do with an imbalanced life, okay? Many are not trying to live life, but they are trying to survive life, right? Okay, finding physical balance. We're gonna go. Remember, tomorrow we got devotions. I gotta go over stuff during the devotions. It's mass devotions, by the way. Okay, I have stuff for the two devotions that we still have to go to, but we're gonna start going, and we might as well start with the easiest one, which is physical. You say, no, that's the hardest. No, well, actually, they're all hard, isn't they? Aren't they? Because when you're in imbalance, for many, the fuel tank is on empty, right? And their energy is empty. I can tell a lot of that a lot of you haven't had energy in a little while, right? All right. But God does, really. He wants us to be energetic, right? Even when you're a little bit older. I'm not older, see? Okay. Brother Venturini's old. Yeah, you know, not much. No, we're not. We're just getting older, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so the number one thing we want to talk about is sleep deprivation. Was that a hallelujah? Was my hearing aid? Was my hearing aid off or was that an oh me? Sleep? Yeah. Oh, sleep deprivation? Yeah. It's DEP, period. Deprivation. Okay? Psalms 127:2, if you would go there. Go to about the middle of your Bible. Okay? Now, I forgot my own reference here. Wait a second here. There it is. 127:2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Ah. He gives his beloved sleep. Recommended minimum is about 8 to 8.5 hours. Okay? And if you say, well, you don't know me, preacher, I live on 5. Sorry. You may be sleeping 5 and you may think you're doing it, but you are living on adrenaline. You are living on adrenaline. You need 8 to 8.5 hours. And if you don't know how to give that, I have a systematic way for you to get and be able to get sleep. Really, I'm serious. It takes a lot of work because if you're not sleeping properly, to get on a proper sleep cycle requires a lot of determination. But that is what you need. It isn't just about sleep as far as it takes time for your body to rebuild itself and to heal itself. Sleep is needed for you to heal. Okay? You need sleep. Sleep is not a waste of time. Sleep is important. Okay? Now, all of you that don't get that kind of sleep, you need that type of sleep. And if you're sleeping, if you are working on this 4 to 5 hours, then you are sleep deprived. And if you get any less than that, then you're going to start even going off to hallucination, and your cognitive skills are reduced greatly. Okay? And if you don't believe me, trust me on that. But you can go to the sleep clinic and ask them, right? If you don't believe me. And so you need this. Our society has been turned into 24/7. Now, this is the Cominco syndrome, we'll call it. Okay? Let's call it the Cominco syndrome. But that shift where you work 12 hours and then you get 12 hours off, and then they reverse it from day shift to night shift. I couldn't describe anything that's worse for your body, honestly. I know a lot of shifts, different shift schedule, because in the military, we worked a 24/7 shift, right? You didn't take, you didn't quit at the military. But yet we came out with that shift was never a shift in the military. We never would, because the person's cognitive skill was reduced so much. You're working on nuclear weapons. Yeah. You don't want to have somebody do, that kind of thing like that. No, it's very serious. We never worked that shift. We never allowed it, because it is absolutely devastating to your ability to think properly. And if you think that you're thinking properly, now, Ian, you've been off for what, 3 years now? Yeah. Now, do you ever think back to when you were on that shift? You're still on that shift? Well, that's really the truth. Some of these guys, Brother Venturini, right? Yeah. They got 30 years of that. And to change that shift requires a tremendous amount of work. But it can be done. And there's a proper use of the verse. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Okay, there's a proper use, because he wants you, my friend, he wants you to sleep. You have to have rest for your mind and for your body to heal properly. You really do. And as we age, we even need naps. By the way, if you do take a nap, it's somewhere on here probably. Never more than an hour, okay? Okay. No. Ian is like, he's in another world still. We're going to talk about. Okay, eating habits. Now listen, folks, I'm all of us, I know this, and many of us are trying to change these things. You don't mind me using you, right? Is it easy? Easy to change your eating habits? No. No. None of this, I'm not trying to tell you any of this is easy. But it's necessary. But you need to change your junk food versus your healthy food. And I don't mind eating some junk food, but you've got to get some more healthy food in your body. You don't need more food. Most of us need what? Not more, we need less food, right? And I'm trying to feed you cupcakes all the time. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You'll have to have the strength, because I'm trying to get rid of food I bought. Because if you don't eat the leftovers, then Tana saves them and I have to eat them. Improper eating contributes, of course, you do understand this, that improper eating leads to many diseases. Lower intestinal tract and problems, right? A lot of all that stuff. Improper eating. If you want to get into the details of this, I can get into the details of it, but I'm not here to give you this. If you don't understand that, you need to. And young men and young women, you need to start eating properly. You need to watch your diet, because if you don't, then you can, because your body is not mature yet. Any problems are exacerbated when you run into those while you're younger. whether it's juvenile diabetes or heart problems or anything like that, if you start out young, damaging your body, it will have a greater effect on you than if you started it when you were 30, because your body is still in development. And that also goes for any kind of alcohol consumption. I know no one here would ever, but if you're ever tempted, I'll get on alcohol for a little bit. If you're ever tempted to drink any kind of alcohol, you need to understand that if you're not 25 years old, the damage that that's going to do your body is about 3 to 4 times more than if you were started any kind of alcohol consumption when you were 25. Your body is still developing. It'll destroy you. It'll hurt you. And, of course, do we think the Bible teaches you should drink alcohol? The answer is no, we don't. Okay. Lack of exercise. Right? Get it up. Right? Do that. Run. Do something. Right? You need to, if your energy levels are low, you need to start doing some exercises. You need to continually be into some kind of exercise program. Please do that. You want to live long, right? You want to know who can still outwork two men? She can. You don't think so? I'll set you in a garden with her. And we'll see who's the first one to bow out, okay? I'm serious. But you need to, hard work is a good thing. It is, physical exercise. But many of us, because of our jobs and our situation, we're not getting the exercise that our body needs. And since we're not getting the exercise, it doesn't repair itself properly, and we're getting weaker and weaker. And what ends up happening is you become more sedimentary. What you want to know what that means? Sedimentary, that's a rock, a big boulder that's laying right there. And it means stationary. Okay? And the more that, so we got to stay, you got to stay physically active, and you need to do this. Okay? Please, you can look up the references. I'm going to jump by some here. Take personal responsibility. You must, with God's help, change your habits. You must, with God's help, change your habits. And you say they're hard, they're habits. How long does it take you to develop a habit? That's pretty good. But you understand that a habit, how a habit is, let's go to your brain. Any of you have a brain? Okay, we have a brain, right? We have a brain. Okay, anybody else? Two people have a brain here. Three people, four. Okay, you have a brain. You have a brain? Okay. A habit is, all it is a repeated action, right? And the more you repeat the action, there is into memory and the neural pathways, they get stronger and stronger to the point when you've done something repeatedly, it jumps. You're very easy. You can go right into that. It's natural, right? Okay, how do you stop a habit? Now, this is where you have to replace that behavior. You just don't quit the behavior. You might think that's good enough, but that is not good enough. You need to replace that behavior. Okay? Now, what happens? So you have a habit, okay? And you practice it and you do it and it's natural and you go and you do this. And so that neural pathway is very strong, right? Works really well. You start a new behavior. Is that neural pathway, is that connection, is all that memory, is that strong or weak when you first start a new habit? We're going to call it a good habit, though, godly things, okay? It's weak. That's why it's so difficult. The reason it's so difficult is the old is strong, the new behavior is weak. But you have a conscience, right? You have all of this. We're sentient beings. We have volition, right? We have choice, okay? So you have a choice whether to go into the old habit or into the new. The tendency is to go into the old, but you choose the new habit, the good habit, the godly habit, the whatever it might be. And every time you choose that new way, that becomes stronger. This one that you deny becomes weaker. It does not go away. No fairy godmother coming down, ping, and that kind of thing. And really. So this one becomes weaker. The new one becomes stronger, whether it be eating habits, exercising habits, or whatever it is. and then the new one will take and have more power after time. It does not happen overnight. It doesn't happen over a month. You have to lessen this habit, let that get weak, and it'll get weaker. It's atrophied. It gets decays, but it never totally goes away. Never totally goes away. That's why the dog returning to his vomit verse is in there. Okay? If you get weak and you go back into this, then that, you'll return to an old pathway. But you do the new one, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and it becomes strong. So then that becomes your new habit. But it's a good one. That's what we're after. You've got to change your habits to good and godly ones. So let's say if you spend 2.5 hours playing games, right? 2.5 hours playing games. You have to put that away, and you have to replace that. You may replace it with doing housework for your parents. You may replace it by doing good deeds for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You may replace it with your Bible study and your prayer time. But you need to be consistent about that, because don't think that the old one is not going to drag and have power. It has power. You've given it power in your life by choice. By choice. You've given that thing, that power. So I'm trying to encourage you. You got to change your habits, and they aren't easy to change. But I think that it's great, don't you? It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Oh, man. It really is. How many of you like certain kinds of food? Yeah, that's right. Popcorn. I have to lay you. Yeah. Okay. So you're taking personal responsibility. God can help you. We want good, and we want to be able to rest. So I do have a little sheet of paper, and I've given it to different people, but they go ahead and they hide it somewhere as if they don't want to change their habits yet. But you need to change your sleeping habits, okay? And God hasn't wired you for 4 hours sleep a night. Don't buy that lie, because your body is going to rebel. By the way, how much sleep do you have to lose before you go in and start hallucinating? You know? Anyway. Sleep is not a waste of time. God designed sleep. Determine how much time you need to feel at your best and then get it. Too much is just as bad as too little. Headaches are more common with excess sleep. Have a consistent bedtime and wake-up time. Dark, quiet room. Give yourself time to unwind. Limit your caffeine to the morning hours. If you need a nap, limit it to 1 hour. Get exercise. Why don't we go to Ecclesiastes 5:12? Now, some of us work hard enough that we don't need to go on treadmills like myself. Our physical labor. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right? I was going in the wrong direction there. And Ecclesiastes 5:12 says this: the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Isn't that a great verse? What do you think the rich man, he's not sleeping. What do you think he's doing? Worrying about money and everything that is going to happen, right? His mind is on that. And really, the truth is that when I worry about something, it drives sleep away from me too. Until I have to get it settled with the Lord and get some peace, right? It's not like I'm not tempted the same way as you are. Sleep of a laboring man. So if you're not laboring physically, then you need to exercise yourself so that your body will want to rest and will rest, okay? Eating healthier. Decrease calorie intake. You have to decrease calorie intake. Try to eat fruits and vegetables instead of fats and simple sugars. Smaller portions, reduce processed food. And you're saying, well, what is he trying to do? We're trying to do the physical thing here, right? Drink lots of water. Bob hasn't had a glass of water in 20 years.
Drink lots of water.
Yeah, he drinks stained water. Yeah, that's right. But you need to do that. You need to drink lots of water. Some of you, like I said, listen, I'm 65 years old and Bob's 83, and I've got more energy than some of you kids do. There's a problem here. You guys should be able to run circles around me. Really, I'm serious. You ought to be able to. Your energy level is wrong because your body is already into a circle, into a cycle that is not healthy. And if you're 30, 35, and you don't have enough energy to get out of you're being drained, you need to consider these things. It is your lot that's going on that I'm trying to encourage you. The aerobics that you should be, if you're not a laboring man, should be 30 to 40 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. And that's a good place to start. Okay? Exercise helps decompress stress. It is good medicine for anxiety and depression. Why is it? You know the medical side of this. When you do exercise, your brain puts out different things that help you. Set realistic goals and believe that God, through God's power, can achieve them. And then we use Philippians 4:13. God wants us to have a healthy temple. You are what? The temple of what? Yeah. We are the temple of God. He wants you to have a healthy temple so that you can do what God wants you to do. And you say, well, I've got this. Try to do everything that you can to live a healthier life. And that includes sleep, Brother Venturini. Did you know that twice he's woken up, though? He did good. Yeah, he was up at 7 o'clock, right? He was up all night? Oh, good. Don't let him sleep then. Then we want you to sleep tonight. Yeah, nighttime. Nighttime is sleep. Daytime is awake. Yeah. But he's been awake all day. Or did you sneak in there and I didn't see you? No? Okay. So God wants you. God has given us an amazing gift in the human body. We are required to take care of it by feeding it properly. Remember, who's the custodian, right? You're in charge of your body, aren't you? By feeding it, watering it, resting it, moving it. If we take care of it well, we will find energy we never knew we had. We will work better, run better, feel better, heal better, and live better for God's honor and glory. So the physical side is important. Unless, of course, you don't want to make it until the end of your course. But we want you to do that. Okay, I'm going to start in the spiritual and soul balance. Okay, we're going to start there, and I'm going to be talking to you about modifying your life. Okay, going back to a more basic life, and I don't mean going and becoming farmers in the bush. Okay, because most of you wouldn't last. If everybody has this dream they want to be back in the 1800s. Actually, if most of us went back to the 1800s, we'd be dead. We wouldn't be able to handle it, I'll tell you. So we're going to go into that. But I had to get past the physical before we enter into the spiritual and the soul balance and talking about contentment and relationships. But I don't want to minimize the physical, because if you're out of energy, if you're depleted of energy, and if you don't have the physical to be able to perform what God would have you to perform, then it's an imbalance and it needs to be corrected. And many of us need to do that. Really, we have to take this seriously. The older you get, now this is, you can say this, you can use this as an excuse, or you can take heed. If you correct this before you become 50 years old, your body still has a very large capacity to heal itself and to straighten things out. If you wait until after you're 50, then a lot of times it's a lot more difficult. So I guess what I'm trying to tell the younger people here,
You need to really work on it, okay? And the Lord will bless you. I know. Okay. Okay, so that's going to be it for tonight. And we'll get into the more spiritual aspects. I was hoping somebody'd react to that. Because you keeping your body in shape is a spiritual activity. It's not just physical. We're not just vain here. We're talking about that this is important for your spiritual well-being, right? Okay. Well, pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the things that we have to correct. And Lord, I believe that most of us already know what needs to happen. And whether it be physical exercise, whether it's our diet, whether it's caffeine and sugar and salts and all the rest that we do, Lord, when we're out of excess and we're imbalanced and our body is actually warning us that there's a problem, Lord, we need to take that warning, whether it be pain or whether it's because we have no energy or physical strength. But Lord, we need to take those warning signs very seriously. And Lord, we need to make the corrections and choose a different way and choose new habits. And I pray, Lord, we take this very seriously, and this would be the beginning, Lord, that we would treat our body, our temple of the living God, in such a way that would bring you honor and glory, and Lord, that it would last as long as you would have it to last. And so bless us now as we go our way. Bless our activities. Keep us safe. And Lord, build a hedge about us. Keep the adversary far from us. Amen.